Is that working, Mark?
Go ahead, Richard. Yeah. Go ahead.
Let's just pray for... Turn it down a bit, Mark, please. Let's just pray for God's word. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this morning again for your word, Lord God, and we pray that your word would do its work in our lives and in the lives of those who are watching, Lord, on Facebook or YouTube or listening to the podcast. We pray, Father, that the living and active word of God would be speaking to us all. But Lord, we need to have ears to hear what it is that you're saying to us. And we ask that the Spirit of the living God would unstop our ears so that we can hear, and give us hearts, Lord God, that are ready, prepared, Lord God, to receive your word today. Lord, we pray that people will be offended by the word in the right context, Lord. Father, we ask in Jesus' name that those who are offended by it will run to Jesus, where they will find help, where they will find healing, where they will find salvation in his glorious name. Amen. Last week, sorry first and foremost about the technical difficulties with the kids thing being in here at the moment. I don't know whether they've touched it or whatever, but wires were out and different things were all over the place. But it's good that the Ladybirds Project is using the building at the moment. But anyway, last week Denise introduced this next doctrine from our Statement of Faith, and there's copies of it at the back for anybody who wants one. But our Statement of Faith, we're looking at a whole series called What Shiloh Believes, and it's hard to believe that this is actually the year that we've been doing it so far. This is the 52nd week that we've been doing this. And this week we're on the justification, or as Denise started last week, the justification of the sinner through faith in Jesus Christ alone. By grace alone. I wonder, could anybody stand up except for Rocky and give us an explanation on what that actually means? You know, it's incredible. The justification of the sinner through faith alone, in Christ alone, by grace alone. That is, Rocky. It is. It's just as well we're thick-skinned, listen to half the rubbish that you come out with. Anyway, for some people, the words of this statement, the words, the justification of the sinner and all, it just seems, for Christians who've been Christians for many, it just rolls off their tongue. But I actually wonder, do people really know what it means or what it is we're talking about when we say things? So Rocky was telling me he had a conversation with a guy during a week who goes to another church in Bangor. And the guy said to him, it's a load of old nonsense to believe that you need the Holy Spirit to be saved. And I thought, well, I don't know what Bible he's reading. I don't know, you know, what church he's going to, in the sense of I don't want to know. But it's impossible to be saved without the Holy Spirit. And so Rocky actually came to my house panicking, because he thought, have I got this wrong in saying to him, no, you need the Holy Spirit. But the guy was taking a verse that was written up on a billboard somewhere. It said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And he's thinking, well, that's enough. You just need to believe. But I said, you know, to another person, I can go to every door up along this row of houses and ask people, do you believe in Jesus? And they'll tell you yes, as a historical figure. But believing in Jesus as a historical figure or whatever else doesn't save anybody. You need the Holy Spirit. So for those who can just rhyme off these words, you know, they actually maybe don't think about what it means. And there are others who understandably haven't got a clue. They don't know what it entails. And that's why we're examining not just this, but our statement of faith. The former Catholic monk, and I know that Denise picked up on this last week, the former Catholic monk Martin Luther protested against the Church of Rome's teachings. Now, there was a lot of good stuff in the Church of Rome, so please don't just, you know, think here that this is a case of throw the baby out with the bathwater. For many, many, many years, the Catholic Church was spot on in what it was proclaiming. But there was a time when this Catholic monk listened to what was being said, heard what he was being told he had to teach people, and he protested against the Church of Rome's teachings, particularly those teachings on justification and salvation. And he, this Protestant, hello, get the clue, this Protestant, said of this doctrine on the justification of the sinner, he said, it is the issue upon which the church stands or falls. Now, this is Martin Luther. This is the Catholic monk who was involved up to his neck in the teachings of the Catholic Church, and he protested against a particular teaching and said, no, we must believe in the justification of the sinner through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone by grace alone. It is the issue upon which the church stands or falls. Well, I would go a bit further to say it is the issue upon which any church stands or falls. And I want to put it on record again. I'm quite, you know, frequently putting things on record, but I want to put it on record again this morning that I believe any church, I don't care if they've got all the happy, clappy, fantastic music. I don't care if they've got hardcore women with their hair in a bun. I don't care if they speak in the King James language or whatever it is they might do. I believe any church that teaches salvation by any other means than by justification of the sinner through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone, by grace alone, is preaching lies. They are preaching a false gospel. And those who put their hope in a false gospel will undoubtedly reap a false salvation. So let me put it out there again. If you are in a church that doesn't preach this truth, leave it immediately. It is a false church. Historically, the justification of the sinner through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone, by grace alone, is one of the most divisive doctrines, and that led to the Protestant Reformation and separation from the Church of Rome. And it's still very divisive today. Now, I believe, for example, within the Roman Catholic Church that there are many born-again Christians. I believe sitting within Protestant churches are many people who think they are born-again Christians. But if you were to ask Protestants why they are a Protestant, I would say very few, if any, would answer, well, I am a Protestant because I believe in the justification of the sinner through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone, by grace alone. And yet, it is the core, or it is certainly a core principle of Protestantism. Now, take the Orange Institution, for example. And, you know, I love the parades and all on the 12th. I'm happy for the parades and happy that people can enjoy their culture or whatever else. But take the Orange Institution for an example. Members of the Loyal Orange Lodges are pledged to uphold the Protestant faith. But how many of their members actually understand what upholding the Protestant faith means? The Orange Order, for example, commemorates the Battle of the Boyne on the 1st of July 1690. And prior to this, England, Scotland and Ireland had been ruled by a Roman Catholic King James II who was forced to abdicate in 1688. You just read your history up on this. With the support of France and the Irish, James tried to regain his throne again to promote Catholicism. But a group of Protestant hierarchy, what we call them, nobles, appealed to William of Orange. That was James's son-in-law, by the way, in case anybody doesn't know. William of Orange was married to James II's daughter. And these men approached or appealed to William of Orange to come and take the throne and defend the cause of Protestantism. Now, you'd think here soon I'm going to bang drums and whatever else and start blowing flutes. It's not about that. There's a point in all of this. Defending Protestantism was about ensuring the truth of God's word was protected. And Martin Luther, who had been a member of the Catholic Church for many, many years, he wanted to ensure that the truth of God's word was protected and upheld, that all might hear the message of the justification of the sinner through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone, by God's grace alone. It is impossible. It is impossible to uphold the Protestant faith if a person doesn't understand or adhere to this core principle of Protestantism. And can you see then, even in this country, how it is such a divisive doctrine, and yet it must not be compromised? This fundamental, absolute, essential doctrine continues to be divisive in other ways. Because this is what it's basically saying. No one, absolutely no one on planet Earth, no one can be saved from hell except through faith in Jesus. And because of God's kindness, there is salvation for all who will believe. So it doesn't matter what flag you fly. It doesn't matter what religion you might adhere to. What God is saying is to set all of those things aside and listen to this message. No one can be saved from hell except through faith in Jesus. And because of God's kindness toward us, there is salvation for all, for anyone who will believe. As Denise said, for example, Islam, among many other religions, teaches that a person's eternal destiny is decided by the scales of justice. If their good deeds outweigh their bad, then the person goes to heaven. If their bad deeds outweigh their good, then the person goes to hell. Now let me ask you, if your life is weighed on the scales of justice, would your good deeds outweigh your bad? If salvation depended on your good deeds, have you done enough to get you into heaven? It is ludicrous to suggest a person can earn their way to heaven by indulgences, by any other means. Particularly when we understand that as sinners, even every good deed that we do is already completely marred by sin. Nothing good that we can do is perfect because we're not perfect. And a holy God will not accept any imperfection. God's word is clear. There is none righteous. No, not one. There is none that does good. Even our good works are marred by sin. There is none that does good. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've all, in that sense, we have all been weighed on the balances of God's justice, and we're all found wanting. And yet many people, including professing Christians, still foolishly believe that they will get to heaven by living a good life, by doing good, or by partaking in indulgences. You know, when we go around the doors doing door-to-door evangelism, it never ceases to amaze me how many people think they're getting to heaven because, well, I'm not bad. I'm not as bad as your man next door. Or I haven't done this, or I haven't done that, and I used to do this, and I used to do that. No one will be saved by doing good works. No one can get to heaven by partaking in indulgences or by thinking that they can live a good life that will get them there. And so I want to pick up on something else very briefly that Denise mentioned last week, which will lead to what I want to say. Denise said the doctrine of the justification of the sinner through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone by grace alone reveals who we human beings are. We are first and foremost, and don't think I'm judging you here, I'm applying this to myself. We are first and foremost sinful. We are sinners. And we all fall short of God's standard. Now, the best way to show you this is I want you to try to imagine Jesus. And now I want you to imagine comparing your life to the life of Jesus. Do you come anywhere near? So you've fallen short. He is the standard, and we have fallen short. We are all sinners. Also, Denise said, it shows us that we are powerless. We cannot cleanse ourselves from sin. We cannot save ourselves from sin. As I told you before, that if you look in a mirror and you've got a piece of dirt on your face, the mirror tells you that there's dirt on your face. But it doesn't matter if you break the mirror and say, I don't believe what the mirror says. It doesn't matter if you cover the mirror up with a sheet. It doesn't matter if you turn your back on the mirror. It doesn't matter if you put your heels down and say, I refuse to believe what this mirror says. The mirror is just simply telling you you're dirty, but the mirror is powerless to clean you. It's telling you you're dirty and you need to be clean. And we as human beings, we are sinful and we are powerless to cleanse our own sin. We are totally then, as Denise said, totally dependent upon God in His grace, because He doesn't have to. We are totally dependent upon God in His grace and in His rich love. We're dependent on Him to rescue us. I'm going to read very quickly from Galatians chapter 2. I have to fly through this. Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. Paul writes, "Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles, but when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, 'If you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews?'" Verse 15. "We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes from the law, or through the law, then Christ died in vain." Now this might seem like a weird passage to speak about the justification of the sinner, considering what's happening here is Paul is letting us into an argument that he had with the Apostle Peter. Paul was seen as the apostle to the Gentiles, and Peter was seen as the apostle to the Jews. However, Peter seemed to suggest if people really wanted to be saved, they should become like Jews, or they should live like Jews. But then he was being a little bit hypocritical in all of this, because he enjoyed actually living like the Gentiles until Paul caught him and had it out with him over the way he was getting on. And Paul basically explained to Peter this: if you, a Jew, can't live like a Jew, and if you can't uphold the law of God but prefer to live like the Gentiles, then why are you trying to get Gentiles to live like Jews and to keep the law of God? This is utter foolishness, because no one, Jew or Gentile, can be justified by keeping the law. No one can be justified. No one can be declared righteous by God by seeking to keep the law of God. Do you hear that? It sounds mad. You would think if you're at least trying to keep the law of God, you'd get a wee bit more favor with God. But God is saying no one can be justified. No one can be declared righteous by God by keeping the law of God. And Denise told us, no one can be justified by doing good to others or unto God. You can't please God by doing good works to other people. You can't please God by doing good unto God. And Paul is now telling us, and neither can anyone be justified by seeking to keep the law of God. That sounds bonkers. Good works or religious indulgences cannot save sinners from the consequence of sin. And neither can trying to please God by upholding His law save us. Do you understand? We cannot do anything to save ourselves. Every sinful human being is powerless to offer anything toward their salvation. And I've said this many times, as someone told me, the only thing that a sinner can offer God towards their salvation is the sin from which they need to be saved. We are utterly sinful, we are powerless to do anything about our sin, and we absolutely depend upon the grace and the mercy and the love of God to save us. All mankind is under condemnation and faces the wrath of God. All are doomed to death and eternal damnation unless a solution can be found. And in his amazing grace and in his wonderful love for us, God had the solution that would enable him to justify sinners and declare them righteous in his sight. We must totally depend on God to save us. And he does, and he will. But terms and conditions apply. For God to justify sinners, for God to make it just if I'd never sinned, and declare sinners righteous in his sight, sinners must confess their sin. They must agree with God that they are sinners. They must repent. They must turn around and turn away from their sin. And they must put their faith in Jesus alone to save them. It must be in Jesus alone. Not Jesus and a few good works. Not Jesus and religious indulgences. Not Jesus and getting confirmed into a church. Not Jesus and paying an envelope into a church. It must be in Jesus and in Jesus alone. When he hung upon the cross and he cried out, "It is finished," he said, "The debt is paid in full." Tetelestai, it is paid in full. It is done. There is nothing you need to add to it. There is nothing that we should try to take away from it. It is finished. And God is saying, confess your sin. Agree with me that you are a sinner, that you're utterly sinful, that you're powerless to do anything about it yourself, and that you depend on me to rescue you. Well, here is my rescuer, Jesus. I need you to put your trust in Jesus and in Jesus alone. And that's it. That's how simple it is. God says, whoever trusts in Jesus shall be saved. Doesn't matter whether you're Roman Catholic, doesn't matter whether you're Protestant, doesn't matter whether you're Hindustani, doesn't matter what you are, whoever trusts in Jesus shall be saved. Any sinner, and all have sinned, who puts their faith in Jesus, God the Father, immediately declares them to be righteous. But better still, not only does God declare them righteous, he actually imputes to them the righteousness of Jesus. And so on the cross, Jesus takes all our sin on his body, on the tree. As Paul says, on the cross, he bears all the penalty for our sin. But he who was sinless, who died in our place, God gives us his righteousness. So he takes all our sin and God imputes to us the righteousness of Jesus, the righteousness of God. The Apostle Paul rebuked and corrected Peter, saying, "We know that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh should be justified or shall be justified." Could Paul make that any clearer to Peter? Could he make it any clearer for you? Here it is again. No person. Do you understand? Doesn't matter if you're an up and out. Doesn't matter if you're a down and out. No person can be justified. No person can be declared righteous by God through good works or through trying to keep the law of God. A person can only be justified by faith in Jesus Christ alone. Now, I am not ruling out that as Christians we should not seek to uphold the law of God and walk in the ways of the Lord. And we'll get into that over the weeks that we go through this doctrine. We have a responsibility as children of God to seek to live as God would have us live and to please God. But we don't do it to try to earn salvation. The only way we get salvation is through faith in Jesus and in Jesus alone. So let me ask you, Christian, you who call yourself a Christian, those watching on Facebook and YouTube, those listening to our podcast, if you call yourself a Christian, what is your Christianity based upon? Now, I mean, I'm shocked this week because of Rocky telling me about somebody going to church and saying you don't need the Holy Spirit to be saved. I spoke to someone else who I thought was saved and they knew nothing of the Holy Spirit. So let me ask you this morning, what is your Christianity based upon? Is it because you go to church? Is it because you were confirmed into some particular religious body? Is it because you were baptized as a child? Is it because it's something that you've always done? Is it because maybe you practice indulgences? If any of these things is the foundation of your Christianity, and you're going to get offended, but tough, you'll get over it. If any of these things is the foundation of your Christianity, you are not a Christian. Do you understand that? If any of these things, well, I was confirmed into the Church of Ireland. Yeah, well, you're not a Christian. If I was I was baptized into the Presbyterian Church as an infant. Yeah, doesn't make you a Christian. Well, I can sing all the hymns and I can pray really effectively and I give money into the church. Yeah, well, you're not a Christian. But I give out to the missionaries in far off countries and I travel out and do this and help all these poor people. Doesn't make you a Christian. Your Christian faith must have its foundation on this fundamental truth of God's word. Justification through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone, by grace alone. I would ask every Christian today to seriously consider, what is your Christianity based upon? Maybe this morning there's someone here or someone watching on Facebook or YouTube or listening to the podcast and you're not yet a Christian. Well, let me say this from God's word. Do you realize that because of your sin, remember we said all are sinners and we are all powerless to cleanse ourselves from sin. Do you realize that because of your sin, God's word teaches that you are under God's condemnation and God's wrath right now? Let me ask you another question. Are you hoping for heaven when you die? Well, what is your hope based on? Are you hoping that your good deeds will outweigh your bad? Do you foolishly think that you've lived a good enough life? Well, let me tell you this morning, it's not enough. I don't care if you're Mother Teresa. It is not enough. Nothing you can do or say can save you. But God still loves you. And God has provided a wonderful means of salvation. But terms and conditions apply. You must confess your sin. That doesn't mean, as I said many times, doesn't mean come and tell me your sins. I don't want to know. I have enough sin of my own. It means agree with God that you are a sinner. It means then that you must repent. You must turn around and turn away from living your life your way and trust in Jesus and in Jesus alone to save you. And if you listen to God's word, you will begin to understand what it means to be justified, what it means to be declared righteous by God. And I hope and pray this morning that people will hear the word of God and will act upon it. But Christian, again, let me ask you, please go home and seriously consider prayerfully before God, what is your Christianity based upon? Because if it is not based upon justification of the sinner through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone, by grace alone, you're not saved. May God have mercy upon our souls. Lord, help us this morning, please, to understand your truth. Lord, we know that people get offended by the word of God. But we don't make any apologies for your word here in Shiloh Christian Fellowship. We pray, Lord, please, that you would help us all to understand that salvation belongs to God. And that you give it only to those who meet the terms and conditions that you have set. And that is confession of sin, repentance, and faith in Jesus Christ, your Son, and in him alone. May we all, Lord, know upon which foundation we have placed our hope. For we ask it in his name. Amen.